What does a life together look like? In John chapter 17, we see what can truly be called the Lord's Prayer. What we recited is really the model prayer. Jesus got asked one day, "Jesus, you've got these powerful prayers. We'd like to know how that happens. Can you give us an example?" So he did, and we say that, we even call it the Lord's Prayer. But if you want to know the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. It's when Jesus finds himself in the garden, and he's taking time to speak to his heavenly Father. It contains this word for unity. Jesus seems to know that even his disciples will scatter, will divide and separate. But Jesus prays that they may all be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. So Jesus prays that we will also be one with Jesus and with each other. This oneness comes through love. When we love one another as Jesus loved us, we are sharing God's love. John's gospel makes this point many times throughout the gospel of John, that Jesus and God the Father are one, and so we are one in Him through God's love. We ought to love one another because God first loved us. We ought to love one another as if it was God loving them. For we ought to be one with God. And to be one is an interesting concept. It doesn't mean that we all have to look alike, or dress alike, or sound alike. It means that we have a common heartbeat. It means that there is something we allow us to bond us together even when we're just as different can be. If you ever want to take an exercise in being one with people, you could get up on a Saturday morning at about 10 o'clock and get in a little Dodge Caliber that's almost big enough for the four people that are riding in it, and we go 2.5 hours so we can be at a gathering, and then for about 1.5 hours, and then take another 2.5 hours and drive back to Philippi. So if you want to be at one with somebody, be in the car about 5 hours with them over a short period of time. Let's see, I think I got on my daughter's nerves, I got on Bobby's nerves, I got on Thomas's nerves, and then, to see, Thomas got on Bobby's nerves, and then Bobby, oh well, anyway, I lost track. But we had a great time. Being one doesn't mean we always see eye to eye on everything. But it does mean we're willing to get in the same car together. It means we're willing to step out of our own little world and enter into the world with others. And I am so fortunate to see this happening throughout Barber County. We step out of our own little world of Philippi Baptist and we reach out into the community that stretches far beyond the walls of this church, that stretches far beyond the borders of Barber County or West Virginia or the United States. It's this call that we are to be one. We even love those folks from Bealington. Did you know that? Martin, we love you. We love you. Ken and Darlene Waddell, we actually love them. Did you know that? And David Hall, does he claim Bealington? I don't know that he claims. Does David claim Bealington? You're not quite in Bealington. We love those folks that aren't even in Bealington. Wherever you find yourself, wherever geography might put you, our prayer today is the prayer that Jesus offered to His Father, that we, in fact, would be one. Paul takes an opportunity to the church at Ephesus and gives another prayer this morning. If you have your Bibles and want to turn, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 as well. Yeah, just like I said, chapter 4 as well. Yes, Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Paul gives us another glimpse of what this life together might look like. What does it mean to have life with Jesus? And it means that we focus on the major things and we let the minor things take care of themselves. We could have a theological debate this morning on whether Adam had a belly button. And we could have the belly buttoners and the non-belly buttoners, and we could really duke it out as to whether that was in fact the case or not. But I am not sure that that in fact would even be worth our time, and it certainly wouldn't be worth the unity that is sacrificed in a debate like that. And there are many debates that we as the church seem to enter into, and it takes up all of our energy, it takes up all of our brain power, it takes up all of our prayer power, and we come out on the other side disconnected. Can we focus on the fact that there is in fact one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. I know it will be a great disappointment to some of our dear Baptist brothers and sisters when they get to heaven and they find out that they're not the only ones there. Or in fact, there are other denominations that are in that same camp as well. I think they've missed this great privilege we have of seeing the richness that God offers as we faithfully continue to serve Him and we reach out in unity to those that He has placed within our path. It is a rich life that He gives us. Paul goes on and he talks about gifts there in Ephesians chapter 4. And he says some are given the gift to be pastors and teachers so that they can equip the saints. And then he talks about the opportunity that we are all one body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped. As each part is working properly, it promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And that's what we've been called to do. We've been called to build up God's kingdom with love. It's what the first Christians were found guilty of, and we still need to be found guilty of today. They were first called Christians at Antioch because they actually loved one another. They lived that out. I see that lived out time and time again. And the privilege for us to share that message with all those we come in contact with, and to make sure everyone knows how much they are loved. I'm not sure there was a day or a week that went by when I was growing up. If it wasn't my parents, it was somebody in the church showering love on me. Now, a lot of times that meant love came through dinners. How they would show me love is they would invite me to their house. Because I was the preacher's kid, and so we'd go in, and these ladies could know how to cook. So, they would fix this whole spread, and so I would eat some more. But it wasn't just the food. It was the opportunity for somebody else to invest in my life. It's the opportunity for us. You know, I wasn't stretching it this morning when we had you all stand on behalf of these young men that are up here. And men, I could have you stand just as quickly. And on Father's Day, we'll probably do that as well. Our privilege is to invest in the lives of these young men and women. As they're here, as they give us opportunity to rub shoulders with them and take some time out of our life with them. Life together looks like something we do on a daily basis. It's something that changes, that may not be the same from one situation to another, but to be ready to practice this gift of unity and hospitality. And we'll let Paul have the final word today. He takes some time there in Colossians chapter 3. He's speaking to a church that he loves and has invested in them. And you've heard this list many times out of chapter 3, verse 12. It says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Kelly Bracey, I appreciate the words of your prayer before we took the cup last Sunday. I'm not sure why they're still sticking with me, but I'm glad they are. What I heard her say in a very few short words was, help us to continue to forgive. Help us to continue to forgive. It's one of the greatest assets we have in this life together, in our life with Jesus. Just as He has forgiven us, we have the privilege of offering forgiveness to others. But Paul finishes his thought here, verse 14. He says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I picture a tapestry that is being woven in the lives of each one of us. That our lives are richer because we are connected with that person next to us. There's beautiful quilted hangings in Wilcox Chapel that our sister church has put together many, many years ago. And each is unique in their own way as they highlight their particular church. But then it's all in this pattern woven together, making a beautiful tapestry as they've all been connected. How much more so do our lives fit in that same pattern? that we are beautiful because of who we're connected to. We're richer because of those sitting in the pews next to you. And that we need to clothe ourselves with love. I also realize today that today may not be a good day for you as you think of mothers. There are opportunities. It may be a time of great grief for you. Or you may have come from a home where the mother was not the greatest example. And to even hear this morning that there is one that loves you no matter what. Wherever you've come from, wherever you're going, and that the church, God's body of believers, is here today to remind you of His love. And that we do this together. We are in life together. May it be so until He comes. Almighty God, we are so thankful that You do call us to a life together. That You have shown us what unity looks like. As we recognize the relationship that You had with Your Father, and that You encourage us and teach us to be in those same relationships with others, that we may be one just as You are one, and that it is Your Spirit and Your Spirit alone that is the unifying factor. Lord, may we allow Your Spirit to breathe into our lives even as we connect with those You place around us. Lord, I do thank You for those that have been a part of our learning, have been a part of our growing. And may we continue to take on that same mantle for the generation to come and the generation after that. We love You, Lord. In Your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.